MLB goes on. Yeah, you're just a microscopic cog in my catastrophic plan.
Hodgetts, L.A. Tis the season. Ho, ho, ho. Merry fucking Christmas. Award season in college football. Bowling season in college football. Of course, the NFL just gets murkier and murkier. Anybody can beat anybody on any given Sunday. They should name a movie after that. How can you even follow the NFL? I don't know how anybody can wager in the NFL. Really, anybody can beat anybody. It's a crapshoot. Who knows who's going to win the Super Bowl? Why even bother making picks? Assholes like me try to make picks on that stuff. Let's get into it. Got a lot to talk about this week. Like I said, start off the awards, college awards, and the 15 freaking different awards that they give out for player of the year. And it seems like they give everybody a player of the year trophy. It's like freaking youth soccer. Seems like everybody's getting one. Although I don't understand how Teddy Bridgewater and Marcus Mariota get completely frozen out of any awards. But to me, it's clearly two of the top three quarterbacks in NCAA. Of course, in the great Johnny Manziel. He got frozen out too, but at least he was invited. I think they just invited him because he won last year and he got a vote. Oh, he deserved to get there. But how does Bridgewater and Mariota? It's just like this all of a sudden the media, the powers that be, the goddamn liberal media will just all of a sudden decide a guy, one week the guy's just not Heisman worthy. I mean, Mariota tore it up all season. Teddy Bridgewater was amazing all season. Team lost one game to Central Florida. It was a good team. The shit, they're in a BCS game. But someone just decides out there that you are no longer worthy. Tell me Teddy Bridgewater and Marcus Mariota are not top 10 Heisman consideration for the Heisman. It's unreal. Oh, well, I digress. Didn't get a chance to watch any of the college awards, I don't know, Home Depot College Awards, whatever it is, or the Heisman. I didn't even get a chance to watch the Heisman. Stuck at a wrestling tournament. I like coaching wrestling, though I know nothing about it. I feel like such a poser. I go to these tournaments and see these guys with these cauliflower ears, and my ears are freaking plump and red and pink and soft. I just try rubbing my ears against mats so I can give myself some kind of cauliflower of the ear. Look like I know what I'm talking about. These freaking wrestling tournaments, though, they take all day. Ugh. I'm just not cut out for the sport. I did it as a favor to a friend, and I'm trying. But shit, you get there at 7 a.m., the weigh-ins. And the weigh-ins are something else. Get these kids up there and trying to suck weight, running around, spitting in cups, putting all, you know, five layers of sweatshirts on so they can try to cut down the weight. Then they get up there to weigh in and they strip down. And some of these adolescents, some of the freaking acne, on these kids. Some of them don't make weight. And I feel like saying, hey, guy, just go in the bathroom and pop some of those freaking zits all over your back. So the kid, you got to have balls to be a wrestler. You really do. You can't be self-conscious at all. I think that's why I don't think I could ever do it. Part of the reason why I never wrestled. That was that I was always too fat and want to lose weight. Winter time. You kidding me? Couldn't eat during the holidays. Forget that. Not the sport for me. But these kids, man, they go out there. You know, I tell you, they have the most balls out of any sport. It's got to be the wrestlers. You go out there in those ringing uniforms, and you got to touch some of those kids with the acne all over them. And it's like, not just the acne. I mean, some of these kids got these freaking zits that are like purplish yellow, size of a freaking silver dollar on them, all over them. They don't care. They go out there and wrestle, and good for them. But these tournaments, man, I can't handle it. It gets to a point where I almost want the kid to lose. So I can go home. I digress. This isn't a wrestling show. But it causes me to miss out on watching the Heisman and the award shows. I like watching the Heisman too, because especially since they've started bringing back all the old Heisman winners. And then you get, you know, you have the guys from the 50s and 60s, these old white guys, you know, these old distinguished looking guys. And you start getting in the 70s and 80s and these guys dressed like pimps. Some of these guys, you know, they come out with these purple magenta fedoras and canes and shit, like Mike Rozier, Billy Sims. So I didn't get a chance to watch that. But like I was saying earlier, you know, Maxwell player of the year, A.J. McCarron. So that's the player of the year. Well, the Walter Camp player of the year, Jameis Winston, who obviously ended up winning and deserved it. Of course, Winston, that Florida State team is super talented. Watching them play. I was reading it that they have their margin of victory, 42 points a game. Right now it's the highest in the history of NCAA, if I'm correct on that. They're blowing teams out of water, but it's not the first time that, you know, Winston deserved it, but it, you know, he played on the best team. Florida State team is loaded. It's just a matter of time before they turn it back around. It seemed like they're always in the top three in recruiting every year. Heisman, what, top five, who do we have? We had Winston, obviously, number one. McCarron ended up being number two. Jordan Lynch, who I liked, was three. And Andre Williams was four. I like Andre Williams. I like BC. My brother went and got his master's degree from there. I've always been a BC fan ever since Flutie. But I don't think Andre... You can't tell me Andre Williams was a better football player this year than Terry Bridgewater. Yeah, it just seems like all of a sudden... I mean, guy ran for 2,000 yards, no doubt about it. You got to get defensive players in there, too. They should just call the Heisman. They should just forget it. Heisman Trophy is for the best offensive player. Just call, come out and come right out and say it. But it seems like in the last few years, though, they have gotten it right. They have gotten it, given it to the best player. But you look back, especially in this decade, or the century, if you will. I mean, you guys got Chris Winkie, Eric Crouch. I mean, Chris Winkie, the best player that year was LaDainian Tomlinson. Eric Crouch, the best player that year was Julius Peppers. That guy dominated. Carson Palmer in 02. Willis McGahee was a great player then. Jason White in 03. Should have been Larry Fitzgerald. Jason White. Man, I've never got a sniff. I don't even think he went to an NFL training camp. Another example of a guy with just the best team and pulled the trigger on it. Matt Leinart, 04. Adrian Peterson should have won it that year. Reggie Bush. Adrian Peterson got screwed that year, actually. Reggie Bush was the best player, no doubt about that, although technically that's vacated. Troy Smith in 06. I believe he's in Canada now. Tearing up in Canada. It's the same year as Calvin Johnson. Calvin Johnson was best player then. Timmy Tebow in 07. He's the best player, I guess. Sam Bradford. Suppose he was the best. Mark Ingram. You know, they really, you know, Cam Newton, not even close. Robert Griffin, not even close that year. Of course, Johnny Football. And now Jameis Winston. So it seems like they're getting it right, but it, oh man, I'm telling you, it's turning into a quarterback thing. And I think part of it is, if you look back at where these guys are coming from, and as much as I don't like the 7-on-7 and that type of football, and I've gone into that before, I think it helps these quarterbacks develop at a higher rate. So these quarterbacks come into college and they don't... I mean, shit, 2 years in a row we had redshirt freshmen win the Heisman. 19-year-old kids. Man, you look at Jameis Winston, you don't look 19. He looks about 32. But, you know, 19-year-old kids, and they're throwing all the time. So they're competing at these camps. So I think that's the residual effect. But you got to have a defender in there once in a while. Be curious to see how Miles Jack career plays out at UCLA. Guy going both ways. He won big Pac-12 Rookie of the Year, both offensively and defensively. What a talent, Miles Jack. Great player. I was watching the thing the other day. Miles Jack, before they even threw him in a running back, never gave him a handoff once in practice. Had him do a couple walkthroughs. Went out there. Hundley said, he said, hey, what do I do? Hundley said, hey, just go left. I'll give you the ball. Ended up 6 carries for like 120 yards that game or something like that. I'm a football coach, but I tell you what. Tell you one thing right now, practice is overrated. You got talent. You got talent. Can't beat it. You know, especially a position like that. Just instincts. You can't teach someone some of that stuff. Guy didn't carry one time in practice. He carried six times for 120 yards. I hope they continue to use him both ways. Be fun to watch going forward. You can use guys both ways. I don't get why coaches don't do it. Now, I'm not saying you're going to give him the ball 25 times and expect him to play defense. Six, seven times. Use him as a decoy once in a while. I mean, Charles Woodson was the only guy who was technically a defensive player, but he was returning punts. He was playing wide receiver. I don't get why you don't see it. It's just that conservative nature of coaches. They want to stick them one way. There's no free thinkers in the game. None whatsoever. Aaron Donald, I haven't really watched him play from Pittsburgh. But evidently that guy dominates. But then I was reading a thing, they project him as a second or third round pick because he's too freaking short. He's 6 feet. That's ridiculous. And then you go around, turn around and watch the Patriots. They're running with 2 5'9" white boy receivers. Which I'll talk about when I talk about the pro. Yeah, screw it. I'm into it anyway. I don't get it. They throw 2 5'9" white boy receivers out there for Tom Brady. And expect them to throw fades at the end of the game. End of the game yesterday versus the Dolphins. They throw a fade ball. I mean, shit. You got a 5'9" corner. You need some big receivers. To me, that's the one position where height really does matter. I don't really think it matters that much up front. I mean, you can't be 5'8", offensive lineman. You know, you can at least be 6 feet, 6'1", everything, reach and stuff like that. But if your arms are long enough, like a boxer, sometimes you see boxers, 5'9" guy with a wingspan, like a 6'3" guy. That happens. With an offensive lineman, I think that would help. But they make such a big deal of hype, but then you just throw, elite teams like the Patriots go out and throw these little white boys out there. And I do think receiver is the one position. Quarterback as well, but there's some things you can do. I think I digress. I don't know. Enough of that. I know Chris Carter was talking today or the other day about, the Patriots got to have biggest receiver. I'll just come out and say it. Come on, man. Come on, Chris. What? Chris Carter. You don't think 5'9" white boy receivers are freaking good in the red zone? And I agree. So nobody in the mainstream media can say it. That's why I come out here and have my 20 listeners and can say whatever I want. True. This 5'9" white receivers ain't going to cut it. Moving on. I don't know why this guy, for some reason, it was all over the internet. Some guy sending a PowerPoint in, applying for the North Dakota football job. Sent a PowerPoint in where he was saying, throw the ball, chuck the ball deep, and everyone got a huge kick out of it. But, I think what did he say? He said a couple of things that people were, chuck the ball every play, fourth down, chuck the ball, never punt, blitz every down. Even though it was in jest, there is actually some merit to that. Look at that high school coach there, what was his name? Kevin Kelly out in Kansas, where they do stuff like that. And there's some merit to that. You can play that style. Nobody wants to do it. Everybody's afraid to do it. Go for it on fourth down all the time. Never punting. You have to have some balls, no doubt about that. And you have to just be oblivious to what everyone else is yelling. But for some reason, it was all over the internet that this guy sends this joke thing in. But there's some merit to that. There's people out there thinking outside the box in football. But football's such a conservative, good old boy network. We got to be, related to Kyle Shanahan or Brian Schottenheimer. I'm sure Belichick's kid's going to be in the NFL. He already is. He's an assistant with the Patriots. He was a lawn snapper at Rutgers. A fucking lacrosse player with his freaking queer hairdo. But he's Bill Belichick's kid, so he's going to be anointed. Yeah. Am I bitter? You're goddamn right. No, I'm not. No, I'm not bitter at all. You kidding me? Coach high school football and teach 15-year-old girls how to play street hockey. Not very well either. We're playing street hockey right now, and I'm dominating, by the way. Hat trick every single game. Natural hat trick, too. First 5 minutes, usually 3 goals. It's great. Nobody in Southern California has ever picked up a hockey stick before. Very few and far between. Dominated that sport. Moving on. Watch a couple documentaries, but two in particular. The one, the Youngstown Boys one. The one about Maurice Clarett and Jim Tressel. First of all, I love the 30 for 30 series. I'll say that off the top of right off the top. They do some good work. However, I'm sick of them making these guys seem like they're these angelic freaking figures. Yeah, they make Maurice Clarett. They try to make Maurice Clarett look like he was jawed by the man. Yes and no. He was and he wasn't. First of all, it was amazing. You know, two of his brothers are in jail, but then his mom on. His mom looks like Claire Huxtable. Very, you know, very distinguished looking lady. And then there's a tie there. Him and LeBron, they're about the same age and they're from the same area. And LeBron's mom, I don't know if you know anything about, you know, the whole Delonte West fiasco. And LeBron's mom is, how do I say this lightly? Ghetto! Hope LeBron's not one of my 20 listeners. You'd think they would switch moms, but Maurice Clarett's mom looked like she had her shit together. Although, I think all three of her boys spent time in jail. But they make Maurice Clarett look like he's this angel. And same thing with Jim Tressel. I'm freaking tired of Jim Tressel, although you don't see him anymore. You won't see him for the next few years. He's just got this whole here and now thing. The whole thing was screwed up. He sent Clarett to some car dealership, and the guy ended up loaning Clarett some vehicle. But here's the thing they didn't talk about in the documentary, which really drew me offside. Evidently, this car was broken into that Clarett was using for free, and Clarett claimed a false insurance claim for like $20,000 of stuff that was in the car that wasn't even in the car. They didn't even mention that. That was a real big sticking point. They made it sound like this Andy Geiger character, this, you know, Dean Mortimer type Ohio State, what a president of Ohio State or athletic director, wherever the hell he was, made him seem like he had it out for Maurice Clarett because Maurice Clarett just had too much swag. But he was freaking trying to pull off insurance fraud. And then, which I do agree with Clarett, he turned around and tried to get out. Look, he wanted to go pro. I give him that. I don't know why NFL has that rule. Of course, it gets back to the argument and discussion I've had before about why there is no legitimate minor league spring football NFL league. I don't get that. I don't know how they can't get this shit together and put together some kind of, you know, they tried it in NFL Europe. They've tried it with a couple things, but it's a legitimate NFL spring minor league football with guys, because there's a lot of talent out there. I'm telling you, there are guys who are stuck in the junior college level, guys that screw up early on in their life and, you know, when they're 18, 19, 20 years old and never get their shit back together, and then they're poof, gone because they don't play major Division I football. Once in a while, you see a guy come out of it. Eric Swan comes to mind. He was a D lineman. For some reason, he couldn't qualify or whatever. He ended up playing for the Bay State. Was it the Bay State Brawls or something out of Lynn, Mass? Ended up becoming a first-round draft choice. But it's few and far between. Point being, there are guys out there. And Clarett went and challenged the system and failed. Ended up getting a different course, and I don't know. And then Clarett went out and ended up becoming an alcoholic, evidently. He started hanging out with such esteemed rappers such as Rufus Black, Black, B-L-A-Q. And he was a Jewish mobster. I forget the guy's name. He was hanging out with some Jewish mobster, and he was just drinking all the time. Fell off. Went to the combine. Ran like a 4.7, 4.8, which is like a death sentence to some of these guys. And then the next thing you know, he's pulling armed robbery. But of course, 30 for 30 being what it is, ends up, you know, he saved at the end. Hallelujah. 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 Clarett ends up, now he's a motivational speaker or whatever he is, or a drug counselor, alcohol counselor, like all these guys end up doing. Guys that end up, you know, throwing their lives away. Hey, you can always turn around and tell people don't be like me. But he was a talent. He was a great back. He's a great back. Tressel got to take some blame for it, though. Tressel just turned his back on him at that. You know, he just turned his back on him. Yeah, Clarett, you know, Tressel got his at the end. He knew the guys were handing out the tattoo parlor. That's why don't tell me that these coaches don't know what some of these players are doing. Don't tell me Pete Carroll didn't know that the Bush family was living in some house that some agent paid for. They know what these guys are doing. They're with them all the time. You shitting me? And if they have the slightest inclination something's going on, have one of their 50 friggin' assistant coaches or GAs go and follow them around, see what's up. They know. They turn a blind eye to it. But it was pretty good. You know, I hope Maurice Claret the best going forward. But I would not be shocked if something happens somewhere down the line. And I'd be shocked if Jim Tressel doesn't get back into coaching. Of course, Ohio State beat that Miami team that was loaded, but they lucked out. They went 14-0, but they had like 10 games were decided by 7 points or fewer. Well, prolate spheroid bounces funny. The other documentary I watched, I was actually a little disappointed in this one. I thought it was going to be a lot better. It was the one, Houston 93, about the 93 Oilers. Man, they made that team sound like the most talented team ever. Still, you had a 37-year-old mustachioed Warren Moon back there chucking the ball around. You know, they blew that 35-3 lead the year before, and they had Jack Pardee. But the moral of that story, I thought, was because they had Buddy Ryan who threw that limp-wristed punch at Kevin Gilbride on the sideline. I remember watching that game. That was like a Sunday night or Monday night game. Anyway, that was such a terrible punch. I lost a lot of respect for Buddy Ryan after that, even though he was old as dirt. Such a limp-wristed punch. But that's what happened. The moral of that story is everyone's got to be on the same page. You need a head coach. If they're going to play that CEO role, which is almost all of them do, you got to have compatible guys on both sides of the ball. You can't have guys motherfucking the offense or MF, excuse, pardon my French, or MF in the defense behind their backs, you know, and on the sideline, come on, offense, you're not doing anything, and vice versa. It does not work. I think that's one of the things Belichick does well. I think he brings both sides of the ball together. I think that's what the good ones do. But Pardee let Buddy Ryan come in with his cult of personality, start talking mess on Kevin Gilbride, calling the offense chuck and duck and all that stuff, which I tend to agree with. Some of that throwing the ball all the time, obviously. But yeah, you know, I didn't think that was all that great of a documentary, to be honest with you. One thing, though, is funny that, you know, it shows you how times change so quickly. The offensive lineman, Dave Williams, decided to skip a game, miss a game because his wife had a baby, the first baby. And the owner, Bud Adams, who still owns the Titans, by the way, Tennessee Titans, called him out and said, expect him at the game. You need to be at the game. It would never happen now. Now it's, you kidding me? This PC world, they wouldn't call anybody out on any of that. Of course, oh, no, you got to go. But even back then, the early 90s, and if you go 10 years before that, it would be unheard of a guy missing a game. Just different. You know, now there are people in the delivery room delivering babies. How things change. But I was expecting more out of that documentary. Looking forward to the one this week, though, about Marty Schottenheimer. Marty Schottenheimer. He's one of, five coaches in NFL history, 200-plus wins. Guy wins. That doesn't mean that Brian Schottenheimer could call plays, because obviously he can't. It's like Kyle Shanahan, the fiasco in Washington. Read an article today about saying that they think Kyle Shanahan's a problem. Kyle Shanahan does nothing but whine. Oh, imagine that. Kyle Shanahan, I'm sure he was a child of privilege growing up, and you know, I'm sure he really clawed his way out of the gutters, out of whatever prep school he went to, whatever elite prep school Kyle Shanahan. And then, you know, all of a sudden now he's anointed that. He's one of the best 32 play calls in the world. It's a sinking ship. I used to like the Redskins too growing up, but not anymore. Then I realized, why would you pull for a team that you don't even live in the area? What's the point? But that's a sinking ship. Ended up benching RG3, which, you know, Madden came out. John Madden was appalled. He was appalled. He called it a travesty to the integrity of the league that they would bench Robert Griffin III, pull him for the year, because Shanahan says that, oh, he wants him ready for training camp. And I don't know if that's the reason. Shit, you went out and took Kirk Cousins, what, second round, third round, the same year. You got, if things aren't working, things aren't going right, I do think Shanahan has the right to go in and put someone else in. Kirk Cousins might be the answer. Who knows? Or at the very least, they can go out and trade and get a first-round draft pick back because they pooched that away, give it to the Rams. So the Rams are going to end up with the top five pick. I think the Redskins are probably going to end up with the top five pick. It's going to go to the Rams. But yeah, I don't see anything wrong with that. I think Griffin should at least suit up. But that's a fiasco. Speaking of fiascos, how about the Cowboys? Tony Romo. I don't get this Tony Romo. The dichotomy of Tony Romo. It seems like one minute you read these advanced metrics that Tony Romo is his greatest come-from-behind fourth-quarter quarterback ever. And then the next moment you read that Tony Romo throws the most interceptions in the fourth quarter in overtime. I don't get it. That team's a fiasco. But they have talent, man. I'm telling you, that Cowboy team is talented everywhere. But that was ridiculous. Just Jason Garrett got to go. That Opie Cunningham-looking motherfucker got to freaking get out of there. You kidding me? Jerry Jones got to clean house and get somebody else. They were up, what, 23 points at halftime and then ran the ball seven times in the second half? Jesus Christ. You joking? Especially DeMarco Murray looking like Adrian Peterson back there. Seven times. And then Garrett did kind of throw Romo under the bus. Romo checked that out into a pass, although the guy was wide open. The quick slant was there, but it didn't click, and he ended up throwing that pick, which is awful. But Garrett, I guess he's just being honest. What the hell? You want guys to be honest, but he did kind of throw Romo under the bus. Has there been a more polarizing quarterback in NFL history than Tony Romo? I don't think it helps that Romo's last name rhymes with gay guy, but I don't know. The Cowboys, they can sneak in. They still make me nervous. They still make me nervous. I wouldn't want to face them. Shit, there are about 15. I would say 8 teams in the NFL right now that could still win the Super Bowl. Even the 2 teams that play tonight. Who knows? I don't think Baltimore, but Detroit's dangerous. Tremendous D-line, tremendous skills. Who knows? Who knew last year at this time, who'd ever thought Baltimore would win it? Just don't know what the NFL and the parity and the salary cap issues and all that. Shit. What else we got going in before we go to the pro game? Well, I guess I'm already in the pro game. Look at that. See, I'm going back college. See, Lane Kiffin was flown into Alabama this week to consult Nick Saban, the offensive staff at Alabama. It's another retread. It's another nepotism. There's a reason why nepotism, even regular jobs. Shit, my girlfriend's mortgage company, they won't hire somebody who's related to somebody else. There's a reason nepotism exists. Lane Kiffin knows all this. I would think a guy like Nick Saban would know better, but he flew him in. I'd be interested to see what happens to Lane Kiffin next year. Because I bet you, what's his name there? Doug Nussmeier, the offensive coordinator for Alabama. I would not be surprised if he gets one of these jobs. Speaking of which, Mac Brown out. It seems like ESPN contrived that one, doesn't it? I smell ESPN on that one. I think they started pushing it. Oh, Mac Brown's going to be out. But what Mac Brown was saying, 8 of their top 10 players this year are out with injuries. And they missed on three big quarterbacks that were supposedly all wanting to go to Texas. Johnny Football, Robert Griffin III, and who was the other one? Winston. Supposedly Winston wanted to go there. Winston's from Alabama. I don't know why Nick Saban isn't getting him. He probably wanted to play right away. He was sitting behind McCarron, but who knows? But it seemed like Mac Brown's actually a legitimately decent guy. I don't know. He just seemed like he got that folksome charm to him. But he resigned. Who knows? See what happens. Be interested to see what happens at Texas. Look at some kind of retread scrub. Uprows would be good. It's too bad, though. You know, I thought Mac Brown did a decent job, but you miss out on the quarterback. You bring in coordinators that aren't that good. Seems to be the case. There you go. That's what happens. You got these CEO head coaches. They put themselves at the mercy of their hires instead of taking the bull by the horns. No pun intended, if you will. Taking the bull by the horns and calling plays yourself, which is why I respect guys like who actually do that. Your Andy Reid's, your Chip Kelly's. Oh, I don't know if... I guess those guys have offensive coordinators, but I think they're calling plays. I think when push comes to shove, they're calling plays. It's amazing how bad the play calling is in the NFL. Especially in plays to win the game. Man, I wish I had more time to just sit and cut up film and look at all the plays that to win the game and how bad they are. It was like, well, like the Kyle Shanahan, the Washington one. They go for two, which I see nothing wrong with that. Go for the win. Screw it. You're not in the playoffs anyway. And they go four wides, and they run this little shit slant out combo. Nothing there. And the aforementioned Patriots, double skinny post to 2.59 wide receivers. They drop it in the zone. They had another guy underneath. Tom didn't see him. Threw it right into him. Feel bad. Like I say all the time, the best defensive coordinator is the offensive coordinator. Jim Harbaugh turned down the SC job, which went to Steve Sarkisian, another SC former assistant retread. Didn't really do anything at Washington, which has a rabid fan base. Speaking of Miles Jack, he's from Washington. He's from Bellevue, Washington, which isn't that far away from University of Washington. Missed out on him. But SC's SC. They're always good at talent. If anybody doesn't win SC's because they're a fuck-up, Southern California is a hotbed of talent, and they can go out and get players all up and down the West Coast. They just have to battle Oregon, which, because Oregon, the de facto cool kids in the NCAA, and Oregon will be back next year in a big way, especially with Mariota coming back. Kind of a side note, but relevant. See, Ryan Friel, the baseball player who killed himself, just came out the other day that he had CTE himself. Oh, boy. The cat is out of the bag. The genie is out of the bottle. Everybody's, well, the impacts it's going to have. So now it's saying even baseball players are suffering from CTE. Shit. You can just hear the pharmaceutical companies right now dumping billions of dollars and coming up with some kind of pill helping prevent CTE. My Lord. And they just dug up Belcher's body there. Guy who shot and killed his girlfriend and killed himself there for the Chiefs. They dug his body up. And sure enough, I'm sure they're going to find CTE in him too. Nobody's going to be playing sports anymore. Ugh. Cat is out of bed. Who knows? We all got it at some point, I guess. Feels that way anyway. Dysfunctional system. This was in the back-to-back weeks, the first time in history that 800 or more points was scored back-to-back weeks in the NFL. I didn't even feel like this week was that big of a scoring week either. Oh, Kansas City putting up 56 against the hapless Raiders. Jamal Charles is your MVP. 5 touchdowns yesterday. With 1 rushing, 4 receiving. Oh, speaking of MVP, Peyton got Sportsman of the Year. Peter King last night on there talking about that. I know Peter King had a full erection when he was talking about that. Come on, give it a... What did Peyton win? Doesn't it usually go to somebody who wins some kind of championship? Now, granted, he's having a record-setting year, but still haven't won shit, and who knows what's going to happen. He bounced in the first round of the playoffs last year. He said, more of a career achievement award. Oh, okay. The one's called Sportsman of the Year. She's called Lifetime Achievement Award. Should have been Ortiz. Yeah, I know him. David Ortiz. I know I'm biased, but historic World Series playoff run. Great season. They're like, Peyton was doing this all at 37. So Ortiz is 37, too. I'll say quarterback. It's a different day and age. 37 now is not the 37 of the 1970s. Terry Bradshaw was 27 and he looked 57 with his hair. I mean, those guys were taking cross-country flights and where you could still smoke on the whole flight, sitting in those things. They probably all smoke cigarettes, probably all drink freaking 30 beers. I bet you Peyton Manning drinks maybe one beer at the holidays, maybe a snifter of port at the holidays with Peyton Manning. You know, these guys are in great shape. They don't take many hits. Peyton Manning will play 5, 6, 7 more years. Same thing with Brady. 37 today is not the same as before. They made a big deal of it.
Congratulations, Peyton. Sportsman of the year.
Yeah, but I don't know these points being scored. It's because they don't let people play defense anymore. You can't hit anybody. You can't jam anybody at the line of scrimmage. So they're setting it up for all those points as it's going forward. Oh, running out of time. Should I get in the twit bag? What else do I want to talk about in the pro game? Nothing really, other than the fact that speaking of the Mannings, Eli freaking shit in the bed. I'm tired. I don't care what anyone says. Eli is not a quote-unquote elite quarterback. I don't care that they won the 2 Super Bowls. I don't care he's stuck in the face of the Patriots twice. Fine. But the Giants yesterday didn't even run one play in Seattle territory till there was about 7 minutes left in the game. You are not an elite quarterback. And I wish I could go back, punch that guy in the face. As I go, oh, Eli Manning's better than Tom Brady because he won 2 Super Bowls against him head-to-head. Yeah. Seattle 23, Giants nothing at home. Just disgraceful. Speaking of Kevin Gilbride, I don't know. I don't think Coughlin, I don't think he survives this. It's funny how things are just sports, man. Hero one day, bum the next. Can't figure it out. Can't figure out Minnesota playing without Adrian Peterson, going out and putting up 48 against Philly. Matt Castle and Philly, and you know, Philly's a team I seem to have got their shit together. Can't figure it out. Seattle posting it on New Orleans. New Orleans something like, what, 2-5 or 3-4? Something like that on the road. New Orleans can't get it together on the road. The great Sean Payton, the offensive genius. Can't be a non-genius on the road. Any other games I want to talk about? Probably not. San Fran over Tampa Bay, good. Cut the head off of Shiano. I don't want him to survive another year. We have to listen to that. Richie's done. Richie Incognito. He's going to pay him for the rest of the year to sit at home. He must be ecstatic. Great. Until they figure it out. It's only been, what, 8 weeks since this whole, since Jonathan Martin decided to throw his pasta tray down on the floor. They can't figure it out in 8 weeks. What the hell happened? They're going to draw this out like it's the judicial system. Like they have all this other stuff that they have to. They probably got 2 or 3 guys working full time on this shit and they still can't figure it out. But he's done. Richie. I'm sure he'll end up on the Jets next year. Him and Sexy Rexy are a match made in heaven. All right. Oh, shit. Fuck. I want to get into the ball games, too. God damn. Time flies. What do I want to talk about the ball games? Obviously, some good ones. Always. I love the ball games. And I don't know why these people talk about all the too many bowl games and they just go to the playoffs. Screw that. Bowl games are great. Especially the ones on, like, New Year's Eve or with a Hawaii Bowl on Christmas Eve. You kidding me? Guys like me? Love that shit. Sit around and drink all day. Throw down 15 bagel bites, you know. I go home every winter for 2 weeks. I feel like a perpetual college kid. Go home, drinking, go to the holidays, go hang out at my friend's house. Now I'm at that age, though. I got 2 groups of friends. I got 1 group of friends that has kids and just sit around and watch, know all the words to Shrek the Third. And I got another group of friends that are addicted to OxyContin. So I kind of come home and I have to kind of find a middle ground too, but I just get to watch all the ball games. You kidding me? I love it. Hawaii Bowl, Christmas Eve, Boise State, Oregon State, great. Bring it on. With a Royal Purple Las Vegas Bowl, that's a good one. Fresno State versus USC. See how SC responds, especially against David Carr's brother. I even know his name, with Derek Carr and Ed Orgeron. What a fool just walks away from SC. And who's going to hire Ed Orgeron to be the head coach with? Appalachian State, Towson State going to hire him? No one's going to hire Ed Orgeron to be a head coach. He'd be a goddamn idiot. He got lucky. Guy didn't know a good thing when he had it, and he freaking quit because he got his panties in a bunch because they hired Steve Sarkisian. Fool. Some of the bowls I've talked about, but I don't want to get into all of them. Chick-fil-A bowls, great one. Johnny Football, probably maybe his last game, should be. Versus Duke, blow him out. Capital One, Big Ten versus SEC, Wisconsin, South Carolina. I hope Wisconsin gives it to him. I'm sick of everybody talking about how bad the Big Ten is. Advocare V100 Bowl. I love the names. Gotta love them. Arizona, BC. Two of the best. What's his name? Carey and Williams. Two great backs. Battle at it. BC's always tough in the bowls. Rose Bowl. Two grind them out. Smash teams. Stanford and Michigan State. 4-5. Sugar Bowl's a little. Oklahoma, Alabama. Alabama's going to roll them. Orange Bowl. Clemson, Ohio State. Yeah. Another guy slipped off. Taj Boyd in the top 10 in the Heisman either. Not one of the top 10 players in the nation this year. For some reason he slipped off. Best non-BCS bowl, Oklahoma State, Mizzou. Should be a high rock'em sock'em game. Can't beat that one. In the BCS, Auburn, Florida State. Here we go. Prediction time. Florida State. In a good one. I think Auburn's going to be able to run the ball, but Florida State's just too much offensively and defensively. Going to run the table. And the best name bowl, the Fight Hunger Bowl, BYU versus Michigan. Sarkisian Bowl, former Washington head coach, former quarterback at BYU. See what happens there. All right, I want to dive in the trip back because I got some decent questions I need to expound upon. First one, at Wine, ACC guy. If Auburn wins, I'll be 5 straight national championships between 2 in-state teams, in-state rivals. When was the last time a single state dominated over several years? Fair enough. Good question. Obvious answer. It's got to be Florida, the state of Florida. Between in the 90s and the aughts. Oh, I like saying the aughts instead of the 2000s. The aughts. Over 17 years, he had 7 national championships and 6 runner-ups. That's 13. Either national championship or runner-ups in over 17 years. You go back a little further, 87-08, 21 years, he had 9 national championships. Miami dominated. Florida State dominated. Florida. Florida State's back, obviously. And Florida right now, just in the doldrums. They'll figure it out, though. They got injured a lot this year. And Miami, I don't know what the hell the deal is, Miami. Can't draw fans. Falling off 7 or 8 years ago watching that documentary. That those teams were loaded. But they'll be back. But that's the obvious answer to that is Florida. Florida dominated. But a state like Alabama, Auburn, if Auburn wins, but, not taking anything away. The state of Alabama has dominated over the last several years. Next question, at DJ Jeff Weaver. Hear a lot of head debates about elite quarterbacks. But who are some of the elite linemen right now? Great question, especially for someone like myself, coaches offensive line. Now, however, it's tough. To really study the great offensive linemen, you got to really look at them. But some of the guys, there's some real good ones right now out there. One guy I think that's really good, especially in light of what's happening in Miami right now, is Mike Pouncey. You lose to your right side of your line. And they're still, they haven't missed a beat. Actually, you can argue they've been playing better since those two have left. But Mike Pouncey, great center from Miami. He's got to be up there. Of course, a couple pass. Nate Solder's been a really good tackle for the Patriots the last 2-3 years, though he's been injured. Joe Staley for the Niners, tackle for the Niners. What's the guy's name? Mike Ayupate? For the Niners. Niners O-line in general. The god for them. Another guy, Jordan Gross, Carolina Panthers. He's been great. He's been playing both guard and tackle. Joe Thomas. He's also been outstanding for the Browns. Browns have a great O-line too. That's why, the Browns aren't that far away. Browns can go ahead and find a guy that they feel comfortable with going forward with. I think Jason Campbell's decent, but, they got a couple draft picks now because they fleeced Indianapolis. Evan Mathis is a guy that thinks real good. The Eagles' whole line's pretty good, too. I've watched them a couple times. They dominate. Of course, some of that's a style, and it doesn't hurt when you have the best running back in the league with LeSean McCoy back there. But the guy Evan Mathis is a really good player as well. And then what's the guy's name from the Broncos? Vasquez, Luis Vasquez. Another good guy as well. So those are some of the guys I think. Sebastian Vollmer, Patriots as well. Those are guys, but it's tough. I think you can go out and find offensive linemen, to be honest with you. I've always felt a draft. I think there are good O-linemen out there across the board. I think with the O-line, it's a matter of, one, having a sound system in place, having a strong offensive line coach, a guy with a consistent philosophy in the way they do things. You don't want to be changing things every 2-3 years. Getting guys with the right personalities to fit in, bringing them together as a unit. Camaraderie, I think, is big. But I always question when these teams go out and draft offensive linemen in the top 3, 4, or 5 picks. Although it's not that common, but it happens. Was it last year they took that kid from Central Michigan? Name escapes me right now, but I don't even know if he's starting right now. You know, I think those top picks, you got to go after the best freakish athlete regardless of position. If it's a freak running back, take them. If it's a stud wide receiver, take them. DB is extremely important. Edge rushes. I think defense is built on the edge. I think if you have edge rushes and good DBs, you're well on your way. But I think you can get offensive linemen in lower rounds. I mean, again, look at what the Dolphins did. They went out and got some guys up the scrap heap, and they've won, what, 4 out of 5 ever since that whole, since Jonathan Martin decided to throw a tantrum in the dining room. You know, you can find guys as long as you're well-coached and know what's going on system-wise, top-down. Last question from at Always Winning 1. From coach's perspective, how do you handle keeping a team ready between the end of a schedule and the BCS Bowl game a month later? It's a good question. I think you got to rely on senior leadership. I think those, you know, I think you got to get some of those guys that you got to get, you know, put the right guys in charge of things. I think you always win based on your seniors, to be honest with you. You win on the strength of your senior class. I think Lou Holtz said that. It's my Lou Holtz impersonation. Stopping all over the microphone is true. There is some wisdom in the old man. I think you just have to have a solid. I think a lot of these coaches, though, they end up putting that stuff on the back burner because this is the recruiting season. This is where they're all on the street, pounding the pavement, trying to get recruits. But if they could just come up with a solid game plan and hammer it, I don't know why teams don't put it. Maybe they do. Maybe I'm not following it close enough, but just put in some wrinkles, put in some things that teams just have can't prepare for. It's not that hard to do. But to answer your question, you know, you got to rely on your players. I think you got to keep things light but focused. I don't think you can burn these kids out. I don't think you can bang a lot, which I don't think a lot of these teams are doing anyway anymore, to be honest with you. Like I said before, talking about the whole Miles Jack thing, I think actually practice is a little bit overrated. You got a guy who didn't carry the ball one time in practice and then goes up and rips it up the very next week. But, you know, I just don't think you can bury these guys in the ground. But what do I know? I've never coached in a BCS game, nor probably will I ever. Other random notes from around, just saw today, we had a top recruit, and now the recruits are starting to come out and give their verbals. Raekwon McMillan. I love it. We're getting in the day and age now where teenagers' first names are members of the Wu-Tang. Can't wait till Method Man Hendrix comes out. But Raekwon McMillan ended up, he's from Georgia, ended up spurring all the SEC teams to give a verbal to Ohio State. Freaking Urban. I'm telling you, Urban Meyer and Ohio, he's gonna keep them. If he stays around, Ohio State was not going to go anywhere for years to come. There's something about Ohio State. It's one of the few, if not the only, cold weather team that I think is going to be able to keep their act afloat for decades to come. I think Michigan's going to go the way of the dodo. I think Michigan's going to become irrelevant. But freaking Urban. How do you pull a kid out of the South and bring him all the way to Ohio State? You know, this kid's supposedly a stud. Number 10 overall. Which brings me to another pet peeve of mine. I can't believe these kids. You know, of course, this is ESPN. Again, I blame the freaking evil empire. They bring the kids out. They line out all these hats. And then the big thing the kid does now is he takes one hat and he fakes it and puts it on his head and then throws it away and puts the other freaking hat on. You didn't realize how much blood, sweat, and tears these recruiters put into these kids. You know, they're freaking spitting on these guys' lives, man. They're spitting on these guys' livelihoods by faking one hat. You know, some 17-year-old kid, just disrespectful. They let him get away with it. As a matter of fact, ESPN encouraged that shit. Amazing. I don't know if this kid did it, but you see it all the time. They do it at the Army Bowl or whatever that freaking Armed Service Bowl it is. They end up faking the one hat and just spitting in the eye of the whole process. I don't know. It was a great article in the LA Times last week about college recruiting and what these guys do. And that's one of the reasons I got out of that game, man. Forget that. I'm not going to go sit in someone's freaking living room and lie to them. And then you put in all this time and effort. I mean, trust me, these guys put in a lot of time and effort. They sit up till 10, 11, midnight, you know, calling wherever coast you're on, calling different kids and texting them. Text messages are ridiculous. People get like, literally, kids get 10,000 texts from recruiters through the course of the recruiting process. There's a good article in the LA Times last week talking about that and how Jerry Glanville said he was the best at it. He would go and he would essentially kidnap kids and he would bring them to this school and enroll them in school before they know it. Just a snake oil salesman business. That's why I got out of it, especially Division III level. Well, you're not even offering a kid scholarships. You know, friggin' blow some 14, you know, 17-year-old kid and promise him the world to try to get him to come to your school. No thanks. That's why I prefer the high school game. You don't have to do that, although it's getting worse and worse, especially out here in Southern California where kids just up and decide to transfer whenever they feel like it and leave coach's hand in. You can't, you know, you have to just go in there and promise them the ball and all the different touches and whatnot. I don't know. That's why I'm thinking about getting into the freshman game. But I digress. Oh, last thing I want to leave with, 2 weeks ago, I think, how about that Oklahoma State male cheerleader who tried to trip that Oklahoma player on the last play of the game? They have scholarships for that shit. I don't know how any self-respecting male could be a cheerleader, but you say that, and those guys are ripped. I wouldn't say that in their face. Hopefully one of my 20 listeners is not a Division I cheerleader, because those guys are enormous, or at least strong anyway. But he tried to trip an Oklahoma player in the end zone. Should be arrested. It's assault, brother. How's that happen? I don't know how it happens. Anyone to become a male cheerleader anyways. Of course, you watch them and they, you know, who's the joke's on who? They're sitting up there and they got just a handful up a freaking girl's skirt the whole time and throwing these girls around. But I don't know why I thought that story. I thought that was awful. Should have put the kid in handcuffs and got him out of there. All right, that's it. I mean, I'm going to be out of here for 2 weeks. Going back home, 2 weeks, like I said, I'm going to sit around my underwear, pop friggin' bagel bites like they're Pez, and drink friggin' 80 beers the course of a night. I was in here watching games. I actually got tickets to the Patriots-Bills, which is the last game of the year, which I had mixed emotions on going to Foxborough out in the middle of nowhere, and you go to those games and the beers will literally freeze up on you. Hopefully it'll be an unseasonably warm day to go to a game. I can find someone to drive me so I don't have to drive out of there. So I won't be here next, but the next time I come, shit, it'll be the new year. So happy freaking holidays. Happy new year. 2014. Coming back, I'll have bowl recaps and we'll be well on our way into the playoffs. Oh, joy. And then I'm going to get some guests in here, well, at least on the phone, some people, some of my friends out there on the recruiting trail. Follow us at Twitter, Hard Yards LA. Email, Gmail, Hard Yards LA. I'm the coach. I'm out of here. I'll see you in 2014.
When I'm-